Good evening, and welcome once again to Your Legal Rights on KALW 91.7 FM, San Francisco Bay Area. I'm your host, Jeff Hayden. Our legal rights begin with democracy, and this program is presented broadcast on such subjects as preserving democracy, threats to our democracy, and how your votes are counted. Tonight, we feature the related topic of gerrymandering, moving district lines to alter the outcome of an election or a series of elections by predetermining the districts in which you cast your vote. Is it wrong for the party in power in a state to draw district lines to dilute the number of representatives the other party might send to the state capital or to Washington? When does this violate the principle of one person, one vote? When one state does it, should another state follow suit? And what happens if it disproportionately affects people, whether it be people of color, or different genders, or different lifestyles? There are variables that affect who votes, how votes are made, collected, and counted that vary from throughout the county, throughout the country. And who better to discuss them? Joining me tonight, Clint Curtis is an attorney and computer programmer with decades of experience in both law and software development. After a decades-long career with work in legal practice and information technology, with a particular focus on areas where these fields intersect, including elections process and voting technology, Mr. Curtis now serves as the county clerk and registrar of voters in Shasta County. And soon to be joining us, from being the real activist to an expert on open source voting, now deputy registrar of voters in Shasta County, regular visitors to this broadcast should know Brent Turner. Without further ado, Curtis, welcome to Your Legal Rights. And Brent will be joining us soon. I am told that he's having some trouble getting an answer when he dials in. It sounds like his call might be routed somewhere else. If you could keep an eye out for that. And of course, our most important guests are all of you listeners, and we'd like to, you to join us in the conversation. So give us a call. Our phone number right here is 415-841-4134. And once again, that's 415-841-4134. If you're outside of the San Francisco Bay Area, don't let that stop you. Call us toll free at 866-798-8255. That's 866-798-8255. Tonight, we're not here to give you legal advice per se. We're here to help, to inform, give you some ideas about what these issues are, where the battle lines may be, and what the effects are. So let me start with a basic question. It looks like Brent is on the line, perhaps about to be put through. But let me start with some basic questions. What's the difference between redistricting and gerrymandering?
Well, it's kind of the same thing. When you redistrict, the purpose is to actually bring the boundary lines so you're basically covering an area that's kind of got the same amount of people in it, the same everything all across the border. Gerrymandering is taking that to another level and then pushing those out so that you can select who's getting elected. So it's actually taking redistricting and standing on its head and turning it into more of an evil purpose than just doing it the correct way.
So basically doing it the correct way is to try to balance out where the district lines are, make sure people's votes have some effect.
Yes. So and everyone is treated equally.
And gerrymandering, on the other hand, has the ulterior motive of the people in power selecting who's going to join them.
Correct. So they can rule the people more than allow them to be represented. Because when you gerrymander properly, it doesn't matter what the people want anymore because it's drawn enough that, you know, if you're going to get whoever you want to get. So one party gets to pick who's going to be there. It doesn't matter if that's the will of the people or not. They just stomp on them.
And let me welcome Brent to the conversation.
Hello, Jeff. Hello, Clint. Hello, good people of California and the Bay Area.
So I guess where we start tonight is it's clear that another state has the majority in power trying to gerrymander and the opposition trying to thwart a quorum so that they can't do it. Should California follow suit?
Do you mean should they gerrymander if Texas does?
Should California gerrymander if Texas does?
Absolutely not. You've got to have principles. You've got to stand for something. California actually put in a system where they have a commission that goes through and tries to do the redistricting the best they can to make it work. Now, some of that people might say is a little gerrymandered too, and it does look like it, but at least it has that intent of making it fair. To just decide to throw that away because somebody else, you know, your neighbor is stepping on your yard, so you're going to go step on his yard, is not really the right way to do it ever. Because if you do that, you're always going to be circling to the bottom, going to the lowest common denominator. So, you know, Texas does not have a constitutional amendment that says they're going to do it the correct way. Do I think they should? Absolutely. But they don't. California shouldn't throw away what they have just to try and follow the other guys to the bottom of the pit.
I live in a district where we've had some fairly good representation for the last couple of generations of leaders. And the idea that one of them could at some point be squeezed out because the team in power wants to make sure that they've got more bodies and they see moving the district line as a way to get there, to me doesn't seem right. It seems that the people in a given district should be able to choose who represents them. And when somebody's been representing that district well, you shouldn't force them out by moving the district lines because you want to have more people on the winning team.
I agree. And what's worse is it isn't just a congressional issue. You'll see that in boards of supervisors. You'll see that in city councils. People will do their redistricting and then purposely place two of the people against each other, even though they weren't before. It happened in Shasta County. They actually drew these really weird lines to push out certain supervisors and bring in others. And, you know, it shouldn't happen that way. There is actually laws against it, but unless you file suit, which they didn't, you can't protect that. What could come from this whole thing with California trying to do the redistricting and not follow the rules that they set out is the counties could start trying to do the same thing. They could say, well, you're redistricting. Now we're going to redistrict too early. Why not? Good for the goose, good for the gander. You know, good for Texas, good for California. You can follow that all the way to the bottom if you need to. But essentially, it's just a bad idea all around. It's done based on census, and the census is supposed to give you a target to redistrict to. It's not supposed to be so you can fix the game. And essentially what they're trying to do is to fix the game, not play the game correctly.
Brent, what is your thought? What are your thoughts on this? I don't imagine there's a whole lot of variance there.
I'm not allowed to give my thoughts anymore, Jeff, because I've been hired as the assistant registrar for Shasta County, so it's nonpartisan. It cancels out my opinion. I'm half kidding. I'm giving good deference to Clint, who has great expertise in most all matters regarding elections. You know, I'm a little hesitant to say California shouldn't fight the fire with fire, because I think that's a political decision. What I will say is that I'm in agreement with Clint that, you know, it's a bad idea and we don't want to race to the bottom. So I understand that philosophy. I also can understand why a state might choose to ostensibly race to the bottom in that way, because they're trying to fight fire with fire and they're at a loss for other better ideas. That being said, I also, in context of this gerrymandering, I don't know how familiar you are with Clint's background, but before he leaves the show, I want to make sure he talks about what happened to him with in his past history, where he became notable for testifying in front of Congress. I don't know if we're going to get to that part soon, but I'd like to have him talk about it before he leaves the show.
Well, this seems like a good time to take that detour, because it sounds like an interesting story.
It is a great story. Clint, do you have time to share?
Sure, I can talk for hours, right?
Okay.
Basically, I was a computer programmer working at NASA, DOT, all these people, right? And I'm a prototyper, so people tell me what they want, and I sit down and I write it. It doesn't take me long. It's kind of like a natural thing for me. You tell me what you want to feed it, and you tell me what you want it to produce, and I can knock it out in no time. So we had this fella come in. He was the Speaker of the Florida House. He was Jeb Bush's running mate. He was, you know, all of this, and he requested the prototype for the electronic voting machines. And this is before any electronic voting machines were out there. This is the prototype. And as part of the prototype, he asked if code could be in there that would allow someone on the outside to decide who's going to win the election. Well, of course it can, right? I mean, it's a program. It's going to do what you tell it to do. Tell it to make a cartoon character that goes around and kills people, or you tell it to move data around, it's going to do whatever you tell it to do. So I set that up, handed it in, and I said, here it is. And this is why you can never use computers, because you can never catch them. And instead, that's where all these computer Hava thing came from, and all that got passed. And so we've been chasing this demon for 25 years. And we're finally in Shasta County getting a little closer to at least neutering it, and that may fix the problem. Because essentially, even though we could never get rid of the machines, I've been trying to get machines for forever, right? Never have been able to get rid of them. They're holding onto those with a death grip. And everyone who speaks against it while they're in power or they're elected somehow lose in their next election. So they just kind of go away. You know, it's kind of like the machine's control. What we're doing in Shasta County is we are going to actually videotape the ballots at the precinct when they put them into stacks. Now, Shasta County originally wanted to get rid of the machines altogether and do a hand count. They've been doing hand counts for forever, right? It's on the books since the beginning of California. In 2 weeks, the legislature changed the law to say that every county had to use machines. Makes no sense, right? But that's what they said. And these are Democrats doing this now. So, you know, you got to remember, the Republicans started it, and now the Democrats are in the game too. So they did that. And so now what we're doing is they won't let us hand count. But what we're doing is we're keeping all the ballots on film before it ever gets to the machine, while it's in the precinct. Then it comes back to the precinct and we count them again. I mean, counts back to Central and we count them again. So now you've seen them at the precinct and you've seen them at Central right before they go through the machine. Then we send them through the machine and then we count them again to make sure there's no hanky-panky going on in the machine, because the programmer is the god of that universe. I can make anything happen. I can make different ballots come out. I can do whatever I want to do, depending on how I've set it up. So we're doing that in Shasta County, and that will make it so that the machines cannot be manipulated. And I'm not necessarily saying that it's the vendor that actually does the manipulation. Because down in Texas, I think it was a Republican district number 22, Congressional District 22, the returns were coming out. Now, this is an R5. You know what R5 means, right?
Tell our listeners what an R5 means.
R5 means you have 5% more Republican voters than you have Democratic voters. R1, R2, you could switch it. R5, not a chance, right? Not a prayer. It's not going to happen. It's kind of the way gerrymandering works. When you gerrymander, you're trying to get those R's up to a nice percentage, and then nothing else matters. You're moving enough people to make your R's or your D's in this matter pop up there so you have the number. So it doesn't even matter who runs. You can run a potted plant and they will win. You know, they just will. So, you know, going through all that, but essentially what happened down in 22 is at 8:34 in the evening, while the reports were coming in, and this is will be area down in Texas, so it's across six different counties, three different machines, right? Weren't even the same vendors. The Democrat and the Independent had exactly the same number of votes in each and every county across that board. Not the same percentage, the same number. So in this one area that only had 64 people in the whole area, it was broken down so there was 21 Independents, 21 Democrats, and the other Republican. 2 minutes later, it all switched back. And what that tells a programmer is somebody's doing math. That's a math equation. That's not going to happen randomly. That's not going to happen anyway, that someone's in there playing. And it's an R5, so you couldn't really make any difference out of it. So it had to just be like a test run, just playing because they'd think nobody was watching. And if this Independent hadn't taken screenshots of every one of these counties at 8:34 p.m., no one would know the difference. So we're trying to get rid of that in Shasta County anyway. No one will be able to do that with our machines. That kind of sums it up. What else you want to talk about?
That's a little scary prospect. You know, when we've talked about different ways of counting votes and the software that cloaks it and hides it, the process, I brought up the movie Man of the Year, where a character loosely based on Bill Maher gets elected president because there was a software glitch and one of the candidates had two sets of double-lettered consonants in the name and it tripped up the software.
Except that doesn't really work that way.
No.
The software doesn't really analyze the names. Everybody's a number. There are no names.
But it does illustrate how something could go wrong with the software.
Right.
And no one would know.
Yeah. I think they were trying to basically say, you don't want to use computers, but they didn't want to take a chance of being sued by the people who make the machine. So they said, well, it's an accident based on something that would really make no difference in the computer land. So, but yes, man.
And Jeff, let's be clear on some parts of this. Clint and I are in complete agreement regarding all the remedies to the situation. In Shasta County, as you mentioned, and in California, you're not allowed to hand count, and you're not allowed to use an open source voting system. So you're relegated to using a intellectual property protected software that's corporate controlled in the election. So Clint's workaround for that is to heighten the security measures in every direction. We can't affect that one. So I still push for that deployment, as Mississippi and New Hampshire have already done, of the open source voting systems with a paper ballot and robust audits and all Clint's security measures. But in Shasta County, we can't hand count. We can't use the open source voting. So the next thing to do is secure all the surrounding procedures with transparency and cameras and voter participation to try to create that scenario where we're pretty darn sure the count is the count. Somebody that wanted to create funny business would be hesitant at that point because there's so much attention to the detail at that point. And we're hoping that this model is then adopted by other California counties and again nationally because it's dire and we haven't really paid enough attention to the best practices that Shasta County now is going to be implementing. And it is bizarre that out of the melee of Shasta County, which is probably the most contentious county, certainly in the state, if not in the country, that I think Clint's methodology is going to calm people down and restore voter confidence. So it's quite a story. And Clint didn't finish his story about testifying in front of Congress, but needless to say, he became quite the hero to the election integrity community because he was the first one to go under oath and say somebody was looking to procure bad software. And that proves up the point that these people have already thought of all this stuff that we were complaining about could happen. They actually were taking steps to implement, and that's where Clint became very notable 20 years ago or however long it was.
What's more important than that, as far as the orchestration of having the solution for Hava, suddenly we have these electronic machines, you know, but the whole electronic machine issue came out of the hanging chads. Do you remember that at all?
Of course.
Very much so.
Do you? The hanging chads were created as well. There's a Dan Rather report on it. And basically, if you notice, previous to that year, there had never been a hanging chad problem. How strange, huh? Jeb Bush actually ordered... Go ahead.
Go ahead, Clint. I'm going to tell you a story right after you conclude. I'm going to put an addendum on you.
Okay. Jeb Bush changed the thickness of the paper and the way they were cut. And when that was changed, suddenly you have hanging chads. So you have hanging chads in the presidential election, and then you follow that up with the solution that was built before the hanging chads occurred. Interesting twist.
Okay, so there was a guy by the name of Bob Varney, and Bob owned the voting system company that sold to Sequoia. Sequoia was the one that had the hanging chad, and Bob Varney felt horrible for selling his company to them because when it came out that they used too thick of cardstock and not enough push pin, a shortened push pin, along with overly thick cardstock, he felt like he had done a disservice to the country by selling his company to Sequoia because he said it would have never happened on his watch. And yes, Dan Rather, I think, got fired over that story, if I'm not mistaken.
He actually got fired over a different story. Kind of, he got set up
different
for
story. Okay.
A George Bush not going to his service in the National Guard. So he had some document that we was given, but the document was fake. Well, so he pushed the document.
Yeah, that's what they said. That's what they said was the real story. The real story was because he ratted on Sequoia. That's just, I don't know what the truth of the matter is, but it was all happening at that time. And again, thank you for your duty to country here. And I'm hoping the people of Shasta recognize your heroics and that we get the work done there because it could really make a big difference to the state and the country if it's done right and then used as an example.
Yeah, let's hope so.
And certainly you're informing the people of the Bay Area tonight about all that you've done and what your efforts are in Shasta County to set a shining example. But what could we do in the face of moving some of these districts? In theory, couldn't you encircle all the minority party voters so that they all vote as one where it's 100% and burn through enough of their voters that they have no influence in any of the other districts?
Well, you could, but usually those will get challenged in court and they'll get overturned by the Voter Right Act. We had a district down in Florida which basically drew around all the minority districts, so it was a guaranteed minority candidate, but it also reduced their capability because now it became 70% minority, which means to actually win a district, you needed 50 plus one. So that other 20% had been pulled out of other districts.
So they get one representative instead of a representative number of representatives.
Right. And you get one representative till probably three or four. So, you know, it's very artful the way you can do this, but we shouldn't allow that. And, you know, I would suggest that the people of California, if that actually goes on the ballot, because it's going to cost like $350 million to run this election. And it's going to be probably even more expensive because the state hasn't actually finished putting it together yet, which means everybody is going to go up to the very last second when they're supposed to have everything done and in and all of their ballots going in. So it's going to be a real mess, and you'll probably have to pay a premium to actually get the ballots printed on time, which is going to be an even bigger problem. And because, you know, they wanted the ballots out in, we usually try to get ours in by August 24th, and we have a special election. We can't do that because we won't even know what they're doing, if we're lucky, till August 26th. So the vendor's saying, you got to get your ballot in, and we're saying, we can't. We don't know what we're doing. We don't even have a name for the election. We have nothing. So if they get on the ballot, I think California should vote it down. I don't think they should let Texas tell them how to behave and to make them behave badly. And if they get in that spitting match, there are more red states than there are blue states. So if everybody decides to be corrupt all at once, you know, I think it'll just be a terrible thing across the whole United States.
So we could either set an example by saying we're not going that far, or we could join in the fray in a losing battle.
Exactly.
Let me welcome our newest guest, who has been working with me for years in the next room as we do this broadcast, and that would be Joanne Marr. Who can't hear me, but welcome. Or I think she can hear me but can't speak to us. So
I was going to say she's kind of quiet.
That's because you don't know her well.
Okay.
All kidding aside, this is a big debacle, and it's going to probably get worse, it appears, if we continue down this path.
Probably. I can't imagine that if everybody decides they want to gerrymander their states. I don't know how many actually have to go constitutional amendment to get it done, like California does. Probably very few, even though that is what they should be doing, is have a constitutional amendment where you can't just go in and play every time you want to, because you never know which politicians are suddenly going to decide it's better to have a strong party instead of having the people be represented by who they want to be represented by. But, you know, there's going to be a lot of number switching all across the country, and that's just going to add to the polarization. That's not going to gain anything.
I want you to ponder this, and we'll circle back to this in the second half hour. What's the likelihood that this is being handed down with districts that were drawn to minimize minority representation, so that while everybody's focusing on Democrat versus Republican and the tribalism in Washington, what's really going on is a frontal assault on the Voting Rights Act, and see if that makes it to the Supreme Court. You're listening to Your Legal Rights on KALW 91.7 FM, San Francisco Bay Area, and we will be back right after this.
Now, Mexican wrestling is a familial affair, so the abuelas, the grandmothers, everyone down to the kids start cursing at me. I feel like the entire arena wants to see me massacred.
Join us for more True Stories Told Live, Luchadors, Tamagotchis, and more. That's on the Moth Radio Hour from PRX.
The Moth Radio Hour tonight at 7 o'clock on 91.7 FM, KALW San Francisco, and online at KALW.org. where support for KALW is provided by the Bar Association of San Francisco. And if you live in San Francisco or Marin County, the Bar Association's Law Referral Service can arrange for you to meet with an attorney experienced in the area of law related to your situation. You can call 415-989-1616 or visit sfbar.org for more information. This is Local Public Radio, 91.7 FM, KALW, as we now return it back to Jeff Hayden.
So we've been talking a little bit about gerrymandering, and I brought up just before we broke about the prospect of legal challenges that might fly, or whether there's a more nefarious purpose to avoid the Voting Rights Act and maybe get a very conservative Supreme Court to try to overrule the Voting Rights Act or set that aside. Let's take these one step at a time. Have there been legal challenges to these gerrymandering attempts?
There have been before, and they used to get overturned fairly regular. But you've got to remember, those were basically 4-4 with a justice that liked to go back and forth. Right now, you're playing a game with 6-3. And so it's kind of dangerous to be trying to put anything in front of the Supreme Court that you don't want ruled on in a very conservative fashion. It's almost better to not take it to court than to take it to court and have it kicked out. So far, they've been pretty much on board with everything the president has wanted them to do, including the act from, 1792 or whatever, the Insurrection Act. It's like, how could they agree with that one? That's just weird. So, I'd be very careful about stepping into Supreme Court land right now.
And it seems that the Supreme Court justices are far more to be social conservatives than a judicial conservative. They're not looking to support institutions and maintain decisions that have been on the books forever so that we could plan and the like. They're more interested in joining the social revolution and turning back the clock 60, 70 years, or so it seems.
I would say that's true. It seems like it is. Now, I'm kind of a conservative myself, so I want it to come back. I think it's kind of swung back a little too far for my liking, but, I thought it was going too far the other way there for a while. It was kind of the rulings would come down, I go, well, that doesn't even make sense, right? Why would you push it out that far? But so now it's coming back, swinging back the other way. So I would be careful I'd just be careful, especially in a gerrymandering case, because like you said, it could come to the point where the whole Voting Rights Act just gets thrown out, just gets dismissed. But in Texas probably won't try to do it that way because Texas is it has a big Hispanic population. It's fairly mixed. The only place you would really have that issue is probably Houston, because they picked up a whole bunch of Louisiana once it had the once all the levees broke, and a lot of people moved from Louisiana, went down to Houston and never went back. So there is a much greater minority population, and it's in particular areas. I mean, it's very congregated down in the Houston area. So it's a possibility that could be used against Houston to pull those votes out.
Do you think gerrymandering is a foregone conclusion, or do you think it's something that'll be spotty where somebody such as Texas may try to do it, most others will wise up and not do it?
I am hoping that most people will not do it. Do I think Texas will do it? I think they pretty much will have to now because it's become such a big deal. Democrats fleeing the state and, they're trying to send the Texas Rangers to Illinois after them. It's become such a storyline, it's hard for people to back down from that. And so I think Texas will go ahead and do it. If California does theirs, I expect it will happen. I think it will have the whole thing will start spiraling down. So you're going to see it in Illinois. You're going to see it in New York. And then all those red states are going to change as well. And so we'll be even more polarized than we were before. You know, you'll have like one congressman from the minority party in the whole state, and everything else will be gerrymandered out. And you can do that. You know, it's a little fingers that draw up there and you just knock it out. If it's not regulated, if it's not controlled, it's pretty easy to do that.
Another story I've been following that's related to what you just said. You mentioned Texas Rangers wanting to track down the Texas Democrats that have left the state, and the president hinting that the FBI may need to get involved. And I'll give you a moment to comment about whether they really have the jurisdiction to do that or not. But on another note, a well-known Texas politician, Beto O'Rourke, has been raising money to help support these Democrats. And now he's getting threatened with being jailed by the Attorney General of the state of Texas. It's getting a little interesting and a little dicey.
Well, I'm not sure what they're charging them with. I think that they could remove them. I think there's Texas law would allow them to be removed if they miss so many sessions. But it's a lot. It's like, you know, they'll be gone for 3 months or something for that to actually happen. So they could get removed. I don't know what the FBI would be able to charge them with. Fleeing a quorum? I don't think that's against the law. Maybe obstruction of a government operation, or I don't know. But I don't think that would bring the FBI in either way. So I don't know. I think it's just another one of these, everybody's trying to puff each other. You know, I'll puff my chest out and you puff yours out and then I'll puff mine even bigger. So I think they're just spitting at each other. And that's a problem because it doesn't allow anybody to unpuff. Nobody can like step back from that and start, you know, acting a little more rational.
I haven't seen an exit lane myself. Nobody's allowing themselves that position to get out of this thing, which makes me wonder whether gerrymandering, at least there, is a foregone conclusion. I think it probably is.
I think so. I don't see how they can step back with everything that's gone on. California still can. And even if California puts it on the ballot, the people of California still can, because they have to pass it before they can do anything. They basically have to override their constitutional amendment to do gerrymandering by committee and to do it in a particular fashion that isn't gerrymandering. It's actually redistricting. So, you know, they can step back. So they have that ability. It leaves the California politicians in a bad area, though, because now they're getting to the whole puffery thing, too. You know, so Gavin Newsom was trying to move to the center so he could run for president, but this is kind of pushing him back out to the left. So, you know, how much political capital does he want to spend on this to make it happen? I think it'd be more useful to him to stand up and go, that is the wrong way to do this, and we're not going to do it that way. That would give him.
Yeah, I think that might be a little Pollyannish, because I think there's a sentiment within the Democratic Party to start fighting fire with fire, just in a general sense. And this timing is aligning with that sentiment, which makes the prospect of trying to play it fair probably less likely, in my opinion. I think we're more likely to see this thing move forward and get through, of course, back to the voting machines. But yes, I'm in agreement with you.
Right. And we'll all see each other at the bottom. And I'll explain that to you later. I could only imagine the chaos that will ensue in offices such as yours throughout the state, trying to figure if this ballot measure is going to pass in November and we're going to redraw all these district lines with elections coming up, and this is all designed to affect the midterms, and yet you're supposed to be printing ballots and the like and knowing who the candidates are pretty early on in the year, I can't imagine.
That's going to be messy. It's going to be expensive. And if it passes in California, they better plan on gerrymandering everything they possibly can, because all the other red states will start doing the same thing, and they're going to be trying to get numbers up, and it's going to be really tough because there's a lot more red states than there are blue states. So everybody's going to now gerrymander the thing to death, and then the state's going to be all blue, no representative from the other side, all red, no representation from the other side, and it's just going to be horrible.
Let's talk about the alternative. Is it possible, by example, by some kind of an agreement, by the kind of diplomacy exercised by Webster and Clay, to maybe get an agreement to just plain stop? Or is this a slippery slope? Once somebody starts doing it, the next one has to, and we're all going down that road to meet at the bottom.
I think we're going down to the bottom, because I don't think Texas is not going to do it, because I don't see where they can now step back and go, okay, we've changed our mind. You know, they'd have to say, California scared us, so we changed our mind. You're not going to hear that out of a Texan. Come on, be serious.
Well, no, Texas is not going to go down that road.
Right.
The question is whether the remaining red and blue states can say, wait, you know, this is leading us down a really dark path.
I don't know. When you get Texas and California doing to each other, now it becomes the norm rather than the exception. And, you know, it isn't really that big of a deal. If you remember back to Texas with Tom DeLay, do you remember Tom DeLay at all? He was back in 2004. Did the same thing in Texas, right? Tried to do a midterm realignment, and he did. And it irritated people, and it actually worked negatively to them. So, you know, it doesn't really work that well. Sure, you can draw things out, but then, and didn't help, of course, that he went to jail, you know, for the Abramoff scandal, which, thank you very much, I helped with that one. And
tell us more about that. How did you help with that?
Well, the guy who asked me for the whole vote flipping software was also involved with Abramoff. And so, you know, the things that he would chatter about, you know, I would listen, and then I pass that information along. And then Abramoff, I don't remember who he is, but he was a lobbyist that actually was lobbying for, I think, Indian Nations. But he would pay off these
and Hava.
So they would do their thing. And, you know, and then he went, and then, so Abramoff went to jail, and he finally got out, and then he did the exact same thing again. So he went back to jail, which is kind of interesting, you know, because he was in there for like 15 years, learned nothing. He was at like 2 years, and he's doing it again. So
he learned he doesn't like paying rent, maybe. I don't know.
I guess so, you know, and he might have liked the food. It's hard to say. But in that particular section, it was, you know, Feeney and DeLay and all of these, you know, upper Republicans that were involved with all of this, because that's, you know, where the thing was. And Feeney was involved with the whole fly to Scotland for the free golf thing, you know. And so, you know, I helped put that in there, and that put the finger on everybody else. And so they started looking at it. And sure enough, Tom DeLay was involved, which I knew anyway, because Tom DeLay had been mentioned 100 times. But, you know, they took him down as well. So, and he should have gone down.
Is there a point where gerrymandering goes too far, even for our current Supreme Court? Is there some point where they're going to say, wait, stop, or is all fair in love and war?
There might be if Texas does it and no one else responds. Because in my opinion, if they do it, then they are the outlier. So now you're looking at it and go, you know, this is not really the way you want it to do. And at that point, the Supreme Court could go back and say, well, nobody else is doing it. You are the outlier, and it is wrong. They can take the high ground. But if everybody starts doing it, I don't think it'll bother them at all. I think they'll say, well, everybody does it. It's perfectly fine. Do whatever you want to do. And then the Voting Rights Acts go down and everything is gerrymandered and we have deep red and deep blue states, and it's not where we really need to be. We need to purpleize things a little, in my opinion.
And get people talking to one another.
It's almost like some evil agents of chaos have been weaving a wicked web around us, and this is part of it. It's almost like maybe some wise guy from another country might think this is funny to do to us, or maybe somebody's compromised within our own government that thinks this is a good idea, but it's very disturbing.
Or maybe we just have a lot of people that are very greedy and do whatever they think they're doing, because it's like, you know, when they were asking about the vote issue, you know, where they were switching the votes, they didn't think they were bad people doing this. They thought they were the good people that's saving America. You know, they're out there and they're saving America. So they're the good guys. And if you, that's your opinion, that you are actually, you know, called by God to make sure something happens, then you can let all your morality drain away, because, you know, you're on a mission. So I don't know if it's deep.
And we, as we've discussed, unfortunately, it's an epidemic, because if you let people cheat, they probably will. So you really got to get those systems tight, which, again, we want to thank you as the general public. Now, of course, it sounds like I'm cozying up to you, because you're my over guy in the elections department there. But before that happened, I always said that you were a hero to the country for standing up and saying something that must have made your life personally uncomfortable. And so we have to salute you for that.
And that begs the question.
Thank you, but you're not getting a raise.
I know that. Believe me, I knew it was a lousy job when I took it.
You know, this begs the question, your comment earlier about they really think of themselves as the good guys. Are they trying to save the values that they think are important? Or is this somehow part of a broader effort to undermine the Constitution?
Well, everybody thinks they're protecting the Constitution. The Constitution is how they read it, right? So, and the Constitution is very, it was written a billion years ago by people who had no idea what was going to be on right now. So it's a very broad document. So a lot of people can read whatever they want into the Constitution. You know, so I don't think they're trying to undermine the Constitution, either side. I think they're trying to uphold it along with what they think it should say, or what they think it does say,
or what they read in the actual words, not right. Realizing that they were written 200 years ago, and a lot of people interpret them very differently.
Yes, and, you know, with this Supreme Court, it gets interpreted more and more differently every day, you know, and now they're trying to put it back to those words, like in gun control laws. Are you familiar with the Bruin decision?
Yes.
Basically, it says that if that law existed in some form way back in 1770s, then that's what they meant, and therefore you can't have anything else besides that. That's a pretty tight definition of what was going on in 1776. So, and I'm a gun guy, so I'm okay mostly, but, you know, it's like, you know, once again, you can't go too wild one way or the other.
You know, I look at it a little differently. In 1776, they absolutely didn't want, you know, to limit our ability to have flintlocks where we all pour, like, you know, the gunpowder into the gun and jam it in and light a fuse. I don't see any reason that they should limit that today. And I'm
well,
a gun
true.
Guy, too.
But flintlocks were state of the art. They were machine guns as far as they were concerned. So from that aspect, do you really want people to have state of the arts? You know, now in Florida, of course, you can have a flamethrower. Well, I think you're required to, actually. But California is a little different. So, and so is New York. And New York keeps pushing on the Supreme Court. So now they're on Bruin 3. If they keep that up, I mean, at some point you have to say, okay, they're not ruling in my favor. Maybe I ought to cut this out before they, you know, really come down and just say, okay, everybody has to own a gun. Because, you know, that's kind of the way they're pushing in New York. So at some point you got to know your court, play your audience, you know?
Absolutely. So the real question is, how far back do we turn the clock with all this stuff? Did they want to...
Well, we certainly, Clint, can we agree that we certainly have to turn it back far enough so that nobody except for rich white men that own land can vote, right? Isn't that the direction?
Depends on a rich white man.
No, it doesn't.
You've got
a wrong answer, Clint.
It was a,
yeah, it was a bad joke, but yeah, that's the problem is that we're you know, headed in a direction that is bad for the democracy rather than good, and I think somebody needs to be held responsible, and I think everybody that listens to this show can imagine who I'm not naming, but you know, it is a nonpartisan issue. Every good patriot should object to gerrymandering, like every good patriot should support election system security. It's a nonpartisan issue that seems to cause big arguments.
I agree.
One of the problems that we face is that there are young folks being brought through the schools who are growing up without learning civics, without learning much about government. They're not necessarily, as a group, committed to democracy, don't see the value of democracy, and don't realize necessarily just how far back the clock is being turned in a very short time. It wasn't that long ago, historically, that our country did not want people coming in from other places. They limited or excluded people from Asia. They blocked people from many other places. Are we turning back the clock that far?
Especially those pesky Irishmen. Remember that? They hated the Irish. It was the weirdest thing.
Until enough of them landed, and then they hated the Italians.
Yes, hated the Italians, and we've always hated somebody. It's just the way we are, you know? We've always hated somebody. But as far as the whole immigration issue, you know, it kind of got out of hand. And it's actually switched parties. Because back in 2006, I ran for Congress. And part of my platform was to get control of immigration, ship people back that aren't supposed to be here, have people get in line, you know, the whole nine yards. The stuff you're hearing from Trump right now was the platform of the Democratic Party back in 2006. And so
even for a few years beyond, I seem to remember President Obama talking about fortifying the border and putting up a wall, and a Republican Congress blocked it.
They did. It's crazy. It's really crazy. It's like it doesn't matter which side thinks of it. The other side suddenly hates it.
It's gotten far worse. I think we now have two distinct parties. We have one party which has taken the Republican banner away from the people who had it and claimed it for a MAGA movement. And then the other party has been taken over by one principle, and that's oppose everything that President Trump does and his folks. And the idea of either one of them having a vision, a forward-looking vision for this country, seems to have gone away. But we have restored a pecking order. We've restored what's evolving into a caste system.
Yeah, and that's a problem too. It's like, who's next
in
line?
And at the top of that caste system is the tech bros who are suspected by all.
We do have one last caller on the line. Let me take this call. You're on the air. Welcome to Your Legal Rights.
Thank you for taking the call. I just had a quick observation about the whole gerrymandering. We have Governor Hair Products out here being very boisterous and pompous about, well, if Texas is going to do it under Trump's direction.
Oops, we just lost the caller.
Oh, where'd he go?
We're having some problems with the phone lines.
But like Gavin Newsom still. Or not,
we still have a minute or so if he calls back.
Okay.
Okay. But I get what he was saying, and what he's saying is, he sees something. He was saying something very similar to what you were saying from a different perspective, a little more hostility to the tone, but ultimately was saying we could all meet at the bottom if we say Texas did it, we're not going to stand for it, and lead a whole nation full of states to try to do same.
And it'll happen. Because everybody will get on the team, you know, whichever team they're on. Did we get it back?
Let me jump in. We've got a couple of calls, and we've got just a couple minutes left. Godden from San Francisco, you're on the air.
Yes, I wanted to ask you guys' opinion, you person's opinion, of how Arnold Schwarzenegger has weighed in on this, his general popularity. It seems he's not a pro-Trump guy, but just what your thinking might be on how that little bit of discussion that's come up, how that may go and weigh into things in terms of public opinion.
I don't think Arnold has much sway anymore. He's gone back to acting, which I really enjoy his movies. But I don't think he has much sway. He didn't have a lot of control when he was governor because, you know, the other party kind of kicked him around a little and he tried kicking back. And, you know, he had the Jimmy Carter problem, you know, where you don't have people that actually are on your team and you have to work with them. So, but I don't think he's going to come into play either way.
Well, he's commented and his comments have appeared in, you know, in major news media.
His comments have been very anti-gerrymandering, as they were when he was governor and led us to form the commission. He doesn't like to see that going either from here or in Texas either. But the fact is, he represents a part of what was once the Republican Party that's no longer involved in the MAGA party that carries the Republican banner. I hate to cut you off. We have one more call in about less than a minute to go. And I do see Pico is back. Welcome back. You're on the air.
Hey, thanks.
We have about 30 seconds. We have about 30 seconds.
All the blue states have already gerrymandered to the hilt. That's why they're freaking out about it and all the negative press that they generate. But thank you for taking the call.
All right. Thank you for joining us. Unfortunately, we won't respond to that because we're out of time. You've been listening to Your Legal Rights on KALW 91.7 FM, San Francisco Bay Area. Tonight, we've been discussing an overview, talking about gerrymandering, talking about your vote, talking about what happens when we redistrict. My guest tonight, both from Shasta County, Clint Curtis, attorney and computer programmer with decades of experience in both law and software, and particularly the areas where they come together, and is now serving as the county clerk and registrar of voters in Shasta County. And from the real activist to expert on open source voting, now deputy registrar of voters in Shasta County, Brent Turner, who we all should know from many years on this program. Thank you both for joining us. And what's it like to engage in litigation with one of the most litigious, notorious abusers of litigation in the nation's history? Now President of the United States, Donald Trump. Next week, ask our guest, E. Jean Carroll. Best of all, as always, we'll take your calls and answer your questions. That's Your Legal Rights. A big thanks to tonight's guests and to all of you for joining us. And on behalf of Your Legal Rights, to all of you for joining us and at the controls, D Minor, I'm Jeff Hayden. Be safe and zealously guard your legal rights.